If you're like me and most humans on Earth, you probably love dairy. We're talking cheese, cheesecake, cheese plates, yogurt, ice cream, and other tasty dairy-based foods. But most health experts, including myself, will probably tell you to avoid dairy altogether because it's inflammatory. But there's also some interesting evidence showing that dairy might be really, really good for you. So today's quick tip episode on whether or not we should consume dairy in its pasteurized or raw form is brought to you by Lindsay Esk, one of our listeners who asked, "What's the deal with milk and dairy? I see it's allowed in the carnivore diet, but I also see information out there that says that dairy can cause inflammation and acne. There's also the paleo version about dairy that says we should not be ingesting dairy because domesticated dairy is relatively recent on our human timeline and our bodies may not be adapted to handling this food source. So I feel like there's a lot of conflicting diet advice regarding dairy. Could you do a podcast episode about dairy?" Well, Lindsay, it would be my pleasure to do an episode here about dairy, and I want to talk about the difference between pasteurized and raw because that's the focus of this episode, and it is kind of shocking what we're going to learn. But before we dive into it, I want to remind you this episode is for informational purposes only, and it's not intended to substitute professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. So let's roll the intro music. My name is Josh Deck. I'm an ex-paramedic, holistic nutritionist, and medical lecturer, and I specialize in helping people reverse inflammatory bowel disease. And in this episode, we're talking about dairy. Is it good for you or bad for you? Now, this is a hard question to answer because, like most things, science is ever evolving, and no matter the quality or quantity of studies that I could cite, there's always going to be other studies out there that contradict them flat out. So in this episode, I'm just going to go through the history of dairy and distill the information down. I'm going to take the studies and these opinions with as much rational and logical thought as I possibly can, because that's how functional practitioners do science. It's always evolving and we have to adapt. So if we go back as far as history allows, we can see the domestication of different dairy-producing cattle. Now, archaeologists and biologists seem to agree that dairy cows were domesticated in the East roughly 10 to 11,000 years ago, in India about 7,000 years ago. We can also see cattle domestication in Africa roughly 8,500 years ago, and again in Central Asia with yaks upwards of 10,000 years ago. So it's a lot of numbers. We'll just level it out and say humans domesticated dairy-producing animals about 10,000 years ago. Now, the question about whether or not humans are adapted to drink milk or not is pretty hard to answer, primarily because of belief systems and conflicting scientific opinions. Now, some people believe the Earth is billions of years old, which means 10,000 years ago, it's really not that much. But some say the Earth's only tens or hundreds of thousands of years old. Others suggest it's just a couple thousand years old. It just really depends on belief systems and your interpretation of the science. So we're going to skip the evolutionary adaptation portion of this and move on to something that we all want to know, whether or not humans can digest dairy products today. So what I can say is that people have been drinking raw, unpasteurized milk straight from the cow for at least 10,000 years. And back then, 10,000 years ago, food was often more scarce and actually a survival necessity rather than just a pleasurable commodity like it is today in the first world with mega manufacturing and all this easy access we tend to have. So 10,000 years ago, humans would be eating only what was good for them and nutritious, not just pleasurable, and it would only be done intentionally because we don't want to consume something dangerous or toxic, because obviously they don't want to get sick and neither do we. But 10,000 years ago, they also lacked the modern healthcare that we have today. So if something went wrong, you might die. So let's figure out if raw milk or pasteurized milk is the way to go. First of all, what is pasteurization? Now, it's a preservation process of heating foods, in this case milk, to about 100 degrees Celsius or 212 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, this heating process is designed to kill living organisms and reduce or eliminate the presence of potentially harmful bacteria. The intention is A, to make food last longer, and B, make it safe. But is pasteurized milk actually safer than raw milk? Well, we can say for sure that the pasteurization process has not been around nearly as long as raw milk has. And so here's what we know from independent studies that aren't funded by the government, wink, wink. There are about 60 known enzymes inside of raw milk. Some come from the milk itself, others are produced by the beneficial bacteria living inside and growing in the milk. Just like we have bacteria in our guts, we have bacteria in our food, like raw milk. Now, enzymes are proteins that help with the chemical reactions. And in the case of your gut, they help digest food, break down nutrients, and allow you to absorb all the good stuff inside the milk. Now, raw milk contains all 60 of these enzymes that we need to break it down and allow us to absorb the good stuff and all these nutrients. But in pasteurized milk, studies are saying that we get less than about 10% of those enzymes because that heating process kills them off, right? Enzymes are proteins, and proteins are either alive or these bacteria are alive. And when proteins are denatured, they kind of unwind like a ball of wax, which really dissipates them and breaks up their natural form. So raw milk also contains 22 amino acids, which we know are the building blocks of protein. And in this raw form, they're 100% bioavailable and very easily absorbed. But in pasteurized and processed milk, just 80% of these amino acids are reasonably heat stable, which means that 20% are not, and the pasteurizing process can denature or unwind these complex protein sources, which effectively makes them, in part, unabsorbable and even foreign to the body, because it's no longer identical to a natural food. Now, this can help explain why so many people, myself included, have sensitivities to dairy. The enzymes that we need to digest this are missing, and the proteins are all broken up, so our bodies can't recognize them because it's no longer a healthy, natural food. It's been beaten up, broken down, and processed. Now, we also have issues with the fats. Raw milk contains 18 different fatty acids, but they're altered by heat, making them harder to absorb, which of course makes it harder on the gut. Our gut has trouble with things we can't break down, digest, and absorb. It causes inflammation, leaky gut, and all kinds of other issues. Now, something else to inquire about is the lactose intolerance. Every Thursday, I meet up with a group of doctors, and we sit down in a roundtable discussion. We do lessons and Q&A and ask each other for help on complex patient cases. We get to bounce all kinds of cool ideas off each other, just this ongoing learning process that we do. But one of the doctors in this circle is a huge advocate of raw milk, and he made great points just this last week, that when we heat milk in pasteurization, it actually increases the amount of lactulose, not lactose. And many of us have trouble digesting lactulose. So what we think is a lactose intolerance is actually a lactulose intolerance. So I asked them, I said, what is your success rate with raw milk in your patient outcomes? Almost 100% of people he's seen who are supposed to be lactose intolerant, turns out they're actually lactulose intolerant, and they can handle raw unheated milk just fine. They digest it, and it's improved their health dramatically. Now, there are also countless stories online of people that you can find if you dig deep enough or use things like DuckDuckGo and not Google. You can find these studies of people using raw milk to help with health issues like MS, digestive issues, asthma, and even autism. And it's wild what we see. But for some reason, raw milk is illegal. Now, if you go to places like I suggested, like DuckDuckGo, it's kind of an uncensored Google alternative. It's a search engine. And if you search raw milk raid, you'll see hundreds of stories of farmers selling raw milk who have been raided by police and in some cases, fully armed federal agents wearing tactical gear. Farmers at home by themselves with milk, not guns and drugs and other armed issues or weapons of mass destruction, just milk. So the government really doesn't want people drinking raw milk. And the question we have to ask is why? Well, according to official institutions like the CDC, the Mayo Clinic, and the Cleveland Clinic, and many others, pasteurizing milk doesn't affect it at all. And they also say that raw milk carries the risk of bacterial contamination. They also say that 40% of humans lose the ability to digest milk after ages 2 to 5. On the flip side, in the functional medicine space, in my own circle of health enthusiasts, raw milk is the way to go and often strongly encouraged. And it's said to have a lower risk profile than pasteurized milk. It's also said to be well tolerated by almost everyone of all ages. So here's a quick summary of what we know so far and some fun bonus points I'll throw in. And I'm also going to link some studies and websites below that I've used for reference materials during this podcast. I'll link them below for you to do your own research and draw your own conclusions. But here's my summary so far. 1. Raw milk from grass-fed organic cows contains tons of nutrients ready and bioavailable for the body to absorb. 2. Processing and pasteurizing milk increases the allergenicity or the likelihood of having an allergy to it. It also destroys the enzymes that allow us to break it down and decreases the quality of nutrients like fats and proteins. 3, it's been shown to be protective against childhood asthma and allergies and other medical conditions. 4, raw milk farms are often raided by federal authorities and it's illegal in many US states to sell in many, if not all, Canadian provinces. But carcinogenic and toxic ingredients like glyphosate, food dyes, food chemicals, alcohol, tobacco are perfectly legal and can be freely added to almost anything, anytime. Now, obviously, this frustrates me because the same government who had a White House presentation telling us that things like egg substitutes, fried in vegetable oil, Lucky Charms, and chocolate-covered almonds are healthier than things like ground beef, eggs, and butter. So I can say with all the confidence in the world that I don't trust the science of these guys and these organizations. So I'm actually getting some raw milk for myself ordered here, but it's ultimately up to you to decide if raw milk is a good fit for you. So I'm going to wrap this one up pretty nicely in a tight little bow and just say there's lots of conflicting information, lots of different science, and lots of different opinions depending on the organization and the bias that they lean to. On the other hand, from personal experience and meeting with many functional doctors in my space who are helping people heal and get rid of disease, they are huge advocates of raw milk. So I'm going to put a bunch of links below in the show notes for you to explore on your own, draw your own conclusions, and see what's a good fit for you. So Lindsay, like I said, there are lots of gray areas, and I do hope this episode answered your question about dairy being good or bad for you. Now, if you're listening to this and have a question you'd like answered on the next Quick Tip episode, go to reversiblepod.com/tips to submit your question. You can also reach me on Facebook or Instagram at joshdeck.health. And again, I'll link that in the show notes. And lastly, if you're struggling with gut issues and you're looking for answers on how to fix it, head over to reversiblepod.com/free or go there and click the tab that says free stuff to get access to my free gut health programs that I've made. They're complete with meal plans, supplement programs, lifestyle changes, and so much more. So it's all available again at reversiblepod.com/free. Thanks for listening. We'll see you on the next episode. Thank you for listening to Reversible. Now, if you don't know this, the mission of this podcast is to put your health back into your hands so you can heal yourself rather than relying on doctors and drugs. And I believe this information should be accessible to everyone for free. But the only way to reach everyone is if you share this. So if you've enjoyed this episode and really feel like you've gotten some value from it, if you could just take a second and click the share button and send this to a friend or share it on social media, it would mean the world to me and it would get this message to more people. So if you could do that now, I would be eternally grateful.